the chief point. In everything that is being said, there is a chief point. In every portion of the Bible, there is a chief point. We would like to welcome you tonight to The Chief Point, a radio ministry program of the Church in Chicago. The name of this program, The Chief Point, is taken from the first part of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. In what is said in any section of the Bible, there is a chief point. The purpose of this program is to come to that chief point, or as the King James Version says, the sum of all that is being spoken. We would like to hit the essence or main point of a particular set of verses or topic. We encourage you to listen. Follow along with your Bible and ask yourself, what is the chief point? We hope you will enjoy this way of studying the Bible with us. Let's begin our program tonight by opening our hearts to the Lord as we listen.
Good evening and welcome to our program. On the air tonight, we're starting with the book of Galatians. We're happy to be with you. My name is Marty Robert, and with me tonight in the studio is Frank Pytel.
Good evening, Marty.
If your Bible's handy tonight, we'd ask you to open up to the first chapter of Galatians. Maybe before we come to the text, Frank, we can begin by talking a little bit about the province of Galatia geographically. You know, Galatia was a province of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
It was located in Central Asia Minor. That's where today's country of Turkey is. And we know by studying a little bit in the Bible and church history that Paul traveled through this province of Galatia a few times on his missionary journeys. And Paul, we know, had the Lord come to him and appear to him. He was saved by the Lord, and he had received some divine revelation directly from the Lord. And now he was coming to the people of Galatia as well as other regions to announce to them the gospel that he had received. Now these Galatians, there were some Jews there, but mostly these people were Gentiles. And we find out by reading this epistle that these Gentile people very warmly received Paul and his message that he was bringing them. They received the gospel from Paul, and really they were ushered unto Christ for their salvation. Then when Paul went back, he returned to Galatia on his subsequent journeys. The Bible says he confirmed these new disciples, and he raised up local churches in several of the cities in this province for the Lord's testimony there.
Mm-hmm.
Now these Galatians, Paul testified that they had so openly and warmly received him, he said, even as an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these newly saved believers were just so happy that Paul had brought them unto Christ. Paul said they were willing even to pluck out their eyes and give them to Paul, who apparently at that time was suffering from some illness in his eyes. Frank, you could say, you know, these Galatians really had a good beginning in their Christian life, and a good beginning in their church life that was being raised up in the different cities in that province.
You know, Marty, you're right. It was really the Lord's mercy that had opened up their hearts at this time. But yet there was still a lack, and actually the lack was in two ways. One was their lack was in the full understanding of the truth and the other of the gospel, and the other, there seemed to be a lack of discernment. Because after Paul was with them for a time, and there was such a work of the Lord done there in Galatia, Paul moved on as the Lord moved on, and the Galatians were very open. And the problem here was that they were open to everything, and they had opened their doors to the Judaizers. Whether these were really true Christians or not, it's hard to say, but Paul labels them as false brothers. And they had come in and took advantage of the openness among the Galatians, and they brought in something and insisted that they needed to keep the law to be true Christians. What was happening here, Marty, was that there was a deviation happening from the pure gospel that Paul had presented to them. And what this brought about was many problems and confusion. And the problem was that these Judaizers were mixing something with the New Testament teaching. And what was also happening here was the pure message of the gospel, which is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, was being threatened and spoiled. And so what the result of this was that they began to divert their attention from Christ. And Paul was really amazed at this situation. He uses the word that he marveled at them, that they were removing so quickly from him who had called them in the grace to a different gospel.
That's really something. You know, you read this first chapter of Galatians and you really get the feeling that Paul had, that he was just marveling. He had just gone to this region. He had ministered Christ to these Gentiles and he had brought them to salvation. He brought them to Christ. And now he felt there was such a rapid departure of these newly converted ones unto another gospel. So this is really the background from which Paul begins to write his epistle. You could say Paul was upset.
Yeah.
He was bothered or grieved in his heart that these newly saved believers were beginning to remove themselves from Christ unto another gospel. So Paul was burdened. He was their father in the faith.
Right.
He considered these his children, and he was burdened to restore them in their faith and in their intimate fellowship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And even Paul wanted to bring them back into a healthy relationship with himself, since he was their father, even though Paul had been discredited in their eyes by these Judaizers. So we see in this first chapter of Galatians, actually throughout this book, that Paul had a real labor of love for these believers whom he had begotten through the gospel. Paul was not naive. He knew this was going to be a real uphill battle.
Yeah.
But he was determined, and he began. So it's interesting to note in the first chapter of Galatians, what's the first thing that Paul began to do? You can see that Paul pointed these new believers back to their sure foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And this sure foundation was the divine revelation of the Word of God. Paul realized, you know, if they would be standing on any other ground, this was like standing on thin ice.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was concerned for them. He didn't want to come and argue with them on whose teaching was better, his or the Judaizers. Paul wanted to show them his gospel was based on the divine revelation that he had received directly from the Lord. This was totally not on the same plane as the teachings of men.
You know, Marty, when these Judaizers were there, they discredited Paul. And the reason they would discredit Paul is because in this way, they would discredit Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel, he was not one of the 12. And then maybe some would say, well, you weren't one of the 12, so you must not really have the true gospel. So Paul begins right away in the epistle, when you look at the beginning, that he says that what he was speaking, who he was an apostle, and this wasn't from men.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't through man, but there was a revelation that he had through Jesus Christ and God the Father who had raised him from the dead. And so then he went on to comfort the Galatians and told them that at this time, with all this confusion, with all these distractions and botherings, what they really needed is grace and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Grace to be one with God and peace as a result, just to be in a tranquil atmosphere with God. And then Paul right away goes on in verse 4 to tell us of his gospel, which was to rescue. It wasn't to bring them back, but to rescue them out of this present evil age of which the Judaizers were a big part. So Paul's gospel here right away is a gospel of rescuing from every distraction back to Christ and the will of God.
I really like this verse 4. You know, I think every Christian knows the Lord Jesus gave himself for our sins. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says that he did this in order that he might rescue us out of the present evil age. And this definitely is according to God's will. So Paul was burdened to rescue these new believers through his gospel back to Christ and back to the divine revelation he had received, which is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So Paul goes on the next few verses. He's expressing his feelings about their situation, and he is very strongly expressing his displeasure toward those who desire to pervert the gospel of Christ. Then tonight we'd like to come to verse 11 and 12, which we might consider as our chief point. In verse 11, Paul said, "I make known to you, brothers, concerning the gospel announced by me, that it is not according to man." Then verse 12, he says, "Neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it." So it's very clear. Paul didn't go to school to receive this gospel. Mm-hmm. He didn't receive it from any man, even including the 12 original apostles.
Yeah.
He testified, "I received this through a revelation by Jesus Christ." So this is really the focus of our chief point tonight, that the gospel, the true gospel of Christ, is based upon divine revelation. What is divine revelation? It's just the content of the Word of God. So this should help us, the basis for our gospel, for our teaching today, the basis, in fact, for our whole Christian faith, is none other than the Word of God. Mm. This is the divine revelation. You know, there's a verse in 2 Peter 1:21. It says the same thing. It makes this very clear. It says, "The sure word upon which we believers rely did not originate from any will of man. It didn't come about by any human impulse." So Paul definitely didn't just come up with some new fanciful ideas or imaginations for his teaching. Paul, like the other writers of the New Testament, he spoke and he wrote as he was moved by the Holy Spirit.
You know, Marty, today, like in Paul's time, the story is the same. We're not in Galatia, but the atmosphere of Galatia is just all around us. Today, many are teaching different things, and these kind of things are just distracting the believers from Christ and even carrying them away from Christ. So today, many times we're looking for something new, because as Christians, we always want to grow. Mm-hmm. We always want to pursue the Lord and see how much more real he is. But we need to beware that just seeking something new apart from the Word of God is not the way to go.
Right.
And even the Lord Jesus, when he was walking among in Galilee, he had told some of the Pharisees that they were either adding to the Word of God or taking away from the Word of God. And he says that this kind of thing is an error. He
right.
says you are erring because you do not know what? You do not know the Scriptures. So we need to be cautioned today that sometimes when something is interesting or itches our ears, if it takes us away from God's Word, we need to forsake it.
You know, this is really been the case throughout church history. Any deviation from the Word of God, any leaving of the Word of God, causes something very dangerous to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that throughout church history, this has produced many heresies. So just like at Paul's time with the Galatians, our need today is the same. We need to come back. We need to hold to and fight for the divine revelation by pursuing the truth in the Word of God. Only the Bible contains the complete and divine revelation. We know that the Bible is the sole authority for our faith. I'm so happy, you know, this is our first program on Galatians, that we could start with this key point. The Bible is the basis of our faith. You know, this reminds me like of Martin Luther. At his time, he was being tried concerning his faith, and he declared something in Latin. He said, "Sola Scriptura," which means only the Scriptures. He wouldn't stand on anything else. He wouldn't hold to any other teaching. If it wasn't in the Bible, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't stand upon it. So we need to take the same way. We should hold to and stand on the Scriptures only. So even today, when we're considering, we might be fond of, we might appreciate different writings and different messages that we listen to. We find that many brothers from the past and present are maybe very spiritual, very inspiring, very enlightened. They may help us with their help us to understand the Bible, to open the Scriptures to us, and help us in our daily Christian life. But any kind of writing, any kind of speaking that doesn't stand on the Word is dangerous ground.
That's right.
We need to give the Lord's Word the first priority place in our hearts. This is the basis of our Christian life, of our Christian faith. It's not in any writings of the church fathers. It's not in some spiritual leader or organization. We cannot do like ones have done in the past, just hold to a set of doctrines, creeds, or some catechism. We must stand upon our sure foundation. And tonight I'm so thankful that the Lord has given us such a gift to the church. We should really treasure the divine revelation that we have received in the Word of God. This is our really solid, sure foundation of our faith. This is really our chief point tonight. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is our sure foundation of faith.
Looking for a Bible? Come to Chicago Bibles and Books, right off the Kennedy Expressway on the northwest side of Chicago. We carry a large selection of Bibles in various sizes. We have Bibles for reading, Bibles for study, some with references, footnotes, maps, charts, and some with wide margins. We have in stock everything from the smallest, thinnest Bibles to ones with the largest print. We also have a large number of Bibles of various translations in over 25 different languages. Whatever your need, for yourself, your child or student, or a gift Bible for a friend or relative, we will gladly help you find just the right Bible. Come meet us at Chicago Bibles and Books at 3931 West Irving Park Road, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Or give us a call at 773-478-0550. You can also visit us at our website at BiblesandBooks.com.
Welcome back to our program on Galatians chapter 1 tonight on the Word of God. Frank, I think it'd be good we remind our listeners that this program is coming through the radio ministry of the church in Chicago.
Yeah.
In fact, we'd like to invite all our listeners, if you enjoy this fellowship tonight over the radio, you're more than welcome to join us every Sunday morning, every Lord's Day at 10 o'clock. We have the same kind of fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have a new meeting place located right off the Kennedy Expressway on the northwest side of Chicago. This is right at Irving Park Road and Pulaski. Our address is 3915 West Irving Park Road.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have some there tonight to man the phones. If you'd like to call and fellowship or have a question or would like to pray with someone tonight concerning what we're fellowshipping, we'll give you this phone number. You feel free to give them a call. It's 773-478-0550. Or if you would like more information, even during the week, this is our bookstore number. It's available 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday. Again, you can call that number and get more information about this program or the fellowship with the church in Chicago. That's 773-478-0550. Okay, Frank, let's go on to talk about more concerning the coming to the full knowledge of the truth. You know, there's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It tells us that our Savior God has two main desires. First of all is that all men would be saved. In fact, we'd like to even stop here for a moment and ask our listeners, are you saved? If you have not really come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's so simple, so easy to receive Him based upon His accomplished work
right on
the cross. It's so easy just to open your heart and pray in a simple way.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus, I come to You. I believe in all Your accomplished work. Be my Savior.
Yes.
Then this verse, 1 Timothy 2:4, says that our Savior God also desires that once we're saved, we would come to the full knowledge of the truth. So I think based on our program tonight, the truth we have seen is so crucial that we need to base our whole Christian life on the Word of God, the truth. So let's talk for a minute, Frank, about some approaches or practices that we can have as believers, whether we're newly saved or we've been a believer for a while. How can we continue on this proper pathway to come to the full knowledge of the truth?
You know, Marty, the knowledge that we get, it always needs to be expanding. It always needs to be fuller and richer. And Paul, in his revelation, had written down what he had learned of the Lord, seen of the Lord, and experienced of the Lord. And in Ephesians 3, it says, by revelation, the mystery was made known to me. And then listen to what Paul did with this revelation. I have written in previously in brief. So once Paul received the revelation, what he did was he just wrote it down. And then the next verse says, by which in reading it, you can perceive my understanding. So today as believers, one crucial aspect which is neglected among us in coming to the full knowledge of the truth is just reading the Bible in a daily way.
Right.
We just need to pick up the Word of God. It's best to have a set time, or if you're on a bus or if you're wherever you're going every day, to consistently read through the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation, or read through a book of the Bible. But day by day, we need to have this practice of coming to the Word of God and reading it. And all kinds of things will happen between you and the Lord by just reading the Word of God.
This is really such a healthy practice. I'd like to share with you, Frank. Recently, I was on a trip with a number of other believers, and I was so touched to see them. When we got on the bus, some would break out their Bibles right away, and this was a real redeeming of the time.
Wow, yeah.
Just reading the Word, just taking little moments here and there just to pick up the Word and reading. It's such a healthy thing. Even there's Bible reading schedules out. I know we have these at our bookstore that people can pass through the reading of the Bible day by day to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Well, there's another good practice. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says that Christians, or as believers, we should be like newborn babes. And what are newborn babes? They're always longing for the guileless milk. And we, as believers, should long for the guileless milk of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows that, as Christians, we need to be nourished up every day with the Word. A very good, healthy practice is, especially the first thing we rise up in the morning, not necessarily to study or to go into any depth, but just to take a couple verses, one or two verses, and open to the Lord, and even turn some of the things we are reading from the Word into a little prayer. And I think in this way, this has been our experience, little by little, you feel like, wow, you're really being nourished up with the words of the faith.
Yeah. You know, Marty, I try to do this every day, is to take some portion of the Word of God and not only just to understand it, but this nourishment comes because we really find the Lord in the Word. I would say another way to come to the Word of God that we can have the full understanding of the truth is by memorizing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You read through the Gospels, especially in Luke, and at the beginning of Luke chapter 1, you see Mary there, and she's praising and she's praying, and she's just letting what's in her out. And you find out, if you look at her praise and her prayer, that it's full of the Word of God. And it wasn't that she had a Bible in front of her or she had something written down.
Right.
But through over the years and through over her daily practice, she was letting the Word of God dwell in her richly.
Right.
And I think as believers, day by day, one way is maybe in the morning you write out one verse, put it in your pocket, and you pull it out periodically throughout the day and let that Word dwell in you, especially in your mind, so it becomes part of you. And over the years, verse by verse, will begin to become part of you. And even another example was the Lord Jesus, when he was there, after he was baptized, he was tempted. And the temptation came to him, and all the time he would reply, "It is written."
Right.
This was his way of dealing with trials and temptations, and he was dealing with it by what was memorized into him. So, Marty, the Word of God is something that we need to memorize.
So that verse in Colossians is really good. Just to allow the Lord to, or allow the Lord's Word to dwell in us richly, whether we're just reading, whether we're praying over it, whether we're memorizing it. And another fourth way, Frank, is the way of studying.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, study, Bible study, is very popular among most Christians.
Right.
There's a good verse in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is very profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And if we get into the Word in this kind of way, the Bible says we would be a man of God, complete and fully equipped for every good work.
Fully equipped.
So this is very helpful,
mm-hmm.
even just to get together with one other believer or a small group of believers, go through a book in the Bible, go
mm-hmm.
through a topic, or just study on our own. In all of these ways, we can find By taking this pathway, we can come to the full knowledge of the truth.
You know, Marty, I'm just refreshed tonight, and I think in me there's a real hunger to get into more of the Word of God.
That's good. That's like the verse in Luke. It says, if we're full, the Lord will send us away empty. But when we are hungry, He'll fill us with good things.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be our way. This is the way we can stay in the full knowledge of the truth.
Tune in again next week as we continue our Bible study and discussion on The Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. If you enjoyed the program tonight, we would like to hear from you. For questions, further discussion, or simply to pray, our lines are now open at 773-478-0550. That number again, 773-478-0550.